Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadik Vav, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik He Amid Beis Amar Rava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalemo for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayosha ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Ya'u Bas Bela, and Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Hadassah. Today's daf is also being learned. Le'ilu Nishmas Yichil Yosef Ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Zeb Ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin Ben Meir Elchanan, and Baruch Tzvi Ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So at the end of yesterday's daf, the Mishnah discussed a halacha: if somebody plucks something out of a flower pot, is he chayiv? Is he considered a toilesh? Is he considered a koitzer? Or is he going to be potter? And it was machloikis Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said that it depends on what type of flower pot this is. Is it an atzitz nakov? Or is it an atzitz she'enei nakov? If it's an atzitz nakov, a flower pot that has a hole in it, then by definition, the hole allows the contents of this pot to be yoinik from the ground. As a result, in halacha, it's deemed to be attached to the ground. If you would pull something out, it's as if you're pulling something out of the ground. You're considered a koitzer. Reb Shimon, however, if it's enoi nakov, if there's no hole in the pot, then you're going to be potter, because although you were technically toilesh, although you were technically koitzer, but being that you didn't detach something from the ground, so the halach is you're going to be potter. Reb Shimon said it doesn't matter, meaning there's no difference between a notzit nakov and a notzit she'enoi nakov. Either way, the Mishnah said Reb Shimon poiter bezeh ubezeh. From there, the Gemara got into a very brief discussion as it relates to holes inside a flower pot, and it's on that theme that the Gemara is going to begin. So the first half of the daf is going to be a continuation of something very technical. Holes in pots, specifically in a kli cheres, how it impacts the halachic status of this particular kli. The second half of the daf is going to be the beginning of the 11th parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak hazoyrek, which is going to be very much a return to the regular program, and that is the halachos of hoitzah. Zokta Mishnah, Amar Rava. Rava said, chamesh midos b'kli cheres. There are five measurements as it relates to holes inside a kli cheres. So we know that whenever you talk about kalim, specifically in the context of Tumah V'Tahira, you have to bear in mind that not all kelim were created equally. So there's a nafgamina between a keli that's a kli cheres, it's made of earthenware, versus a keli that's matches, it's made of metal, versus a keli that's eitz, it's made of wood. So Rava's following comment was talking specifically about a kli cheres. So there are five important measurements of holes as it relates to a kli cheres. Said Rava, Nikev Kemoitzi Mashko, if you have a kli cheres and there's a hole inside the kli cheres, it's a very small hole. It's big enough to allow a liquid that's inside it to pour out. However, it's not bigger than that. So the only significance of the hole is that it would be moitzi mashka. If there was a mashka inside, that mashka would come out. How does that halachically change and impact the status of the keli? Said Rava Tahar Militami Gistera. The halacha is, all it would do is, it would say that in the event that this cheres that you have was not a complete kli, but rather it was a gistera, it was the shard of a kli, then we would say that if the shard was tameh and now it got a hole that size, the hole would make it tahar. So one of the ways to be metahir something is by disabling it. So if you have a keli, for example, that's tameh, so if you can do something, physically alter the keli to the point where it's not functional anymore, that would be enough for it to now be tar. It's the backdrop of Maseches Kelim. Regardless, in the event that you had not a complete kli cheres, but a gistera, a shard of a kli cheres, then if it had a nekev that's so small that all it is moitzi mashka, it would be enough to say that it's not a gistera, and as a result, it would be tar. However, v'dayin kli ulekadosh boi mechatos. But if you had a full kli, it would still be considered a keli. And if the keli was tummy, it would still be tummy. Not only that, it's considered a keli with regards to the halachas of mechatas. So the chatas in mechatas is referring to the para aduma. And in order to prepare a para aduma, one of the things they had to have was a keli. Mayim chayim el keli, the pasuk says. So this kli cheres that has a hole, that's moitzi mashka, is considered a keli that if it was Tomei, it would remain Tomei. It's even considered a Keli that you'd be able to use it to be Mekadesh Mechatzef. In what way is it not a Keli? If you had a Gister, all it was a shard. Now it has that hold. Now it's going to be Tomei. What if the hole was a little bit bigger? It's big enough not only for Mashka to drip out, but it could actually bring Mashka in through this hole. So then the Halach is Tomei Lekadesh Mechatzef. So then that would impact the Keli even more. Meaning if you would have a complete Keli that has a hole like that, you wouldn't be able to use the Keli anymore for Mechatzef. However, Vadayin Kli would still be considered a Keli Lahakshe Bezra. It would be a Kli that if it was Tomei, it would remain Tomei. That's implied, says Rashi, from what the Gemara is saying. And it would also be a Keli that if there was Zroim inside, if there was something growing inside this Keli, it was an Atzutz, hence the reason we're talking about it now, it would be considered an Atzutz She'enoi Nakuf. It wouldn't be considered a real hole. As a result, what's inside it would not be considered attached to the ground. If what's inside it is not considered attached to the ground, so it's Tolish. If it's Tolish, it's Hochsher, it could be Mekabel Tumah. What if the hole's a little bit bigger than that? What if it's the size of a small root? So then the halach is tarmel hachshav yisrom. That's already such a big hole that now this keli wouldn't be roi anymore to be makabel toma, because now it's considered an otzitz nakov. If it's considered attached to the ground, it's considered mechuber v'atayin kliyah. However, it still would be considered a keli, the kabel zbezesim, which is another way of saying that it would still be considered a keli for toma. So if this keli was tame, it would remain tame. If the hole was big enough that it's the size of a Shoyrish Katan, but not bigger than that. So the whole of the Shoyrish Katan, that's the third measurement of Shurim that Rava mentioned, would impact the Keli more than the previously mentioned holes, but not enough to say that it's not going to be Tomei. And the way Chazal, the way Rava referred to a Keli that's Mekabel Toma is Adayin Klihu Lekabel Boizesim. And the reason is, as the Gemara is about to say, because the Shear of a Kli Cheres, as it relates to when it gets a hole, is it that when it had been previously Tomei, is it now going to be Tar? Is the hole big enough that Zaysen can go inside? If the hole is big enough for Zaysen, then it becomes Tar. But being that the Shoyrish Katan is smaller than the Zayas, so it's still a Kli Lekabel by Zaysen, it's still going to be Tomei. Timei Kemoitzi Zaysen. What if you had a Kli Cheres that was Tomei, and now there's a hole, and how big is the hole? It's Kemoitzi Zaysen, a Zayas can come out. So then the Halach is Tar Lekabel by Zaysen. Then already, the Halach is in this Keli, had it been previously Tomei, is now going to be Tar. However, Vadayin Kli Ulekabel by Rimoinim. This is a little confusing. If the purpose of this Keli wasn't to be used for Zaysen, but rather it was meant to be used for something much bigger, such as pomegranate, such as Rimoinim, so then the halach is if the Keli was Tomei, and now it got a hole that's big enough for Zaysen to go out, but being that it's used for Rimoinim, so the halach is it's still going to be Tomei. Nikkei, you might say Rimoinim. What if the Gecheres has a hole that's so big that even Rimoinim could come out? So now Tar Miklo. Now it's going to be 100% Tar. However, one more caveat, and that is in Hukif Tzomit Pasul, in the event that you had a Keli that has a hole in it, it's big enough that it could be Moitzi Rimoinen, and this Keli is inside a house. There's a mace inside the house. In other words, it's inside an oil mace, and it was sealed on top. The halach is, it's Pesukim in the Torah, the beginning of Parashas Chukas, that anything that's inside an oil ames, the halach is becomes Tamei Tumas oil. Unless something's inside a container, and the container is sealed, then whatever's inside, the Tzomit Pasul, it protects. It's a Shmira. It protects whatever's inside the Keli. So the question is, this Keli that has a hole, the size that Rimoinim can even come out. So is that considered a big enough hole that we don't look at the Keli so that if it's sealed on top, the halacha is that it wouldn't even become Tomei Tumas Meis? So for that, the answer is no. Because if it's Huk of Tzomit Pasul, then the hole would have to be even bigger. Achi Yivchas Ruba, you would need that most of the Keli would have been destroyed. But if not most of it is destroyed, even if the hole is the size that it could be Mekabel Rimoinim, the halacha is not going to be a Keli. The bottom line is, Rava said that if you have a Kli Cheres with a hole in it and you want to know how it impacts halacha, it's rather complicated. What exactly are you discussing? Are you discussing Tumah V'Tayra? Are you discussing the halachas of Tumas Oil? Are you discussing whether or not if there's something growing inside this Keli, whether it could be Huchshul Kabel Tumah, meaning is this an Otzitz Nakuv or not? Are you discussing whether or not you could use this Keli for a Mechatas? Also, you want to know if this should be treated as a keli, or what about if it's a gistera? The point is, there were a whole bunch of variables that the Gemara discussed, and those are the chomish midos, the klicheris that Rava mentioned. Now, the truth is, if you do the math, Rava didn't mention five measurements. Rava actually measured six measurements. I am birishayim. Zok the Gemara, Rav Asi says, Shemati, I heard klicheris, sheyuroi kemoitzi rimoin. I heard that a klicheris that has a hole, how big does the hole have to be in order for it to impact halacha? Big enough that a rimoin, a pomegranate, can go mad. Amalei Rava, so Rava told Rav Asi, Shemalei Shemata el b'mukav tzamad possible. You must have heard, is meaning a klicheris that has a hole, is it's not one size fits all. There are many different holes that will impact different halachas as it relates to a klicheris. So Rava told Rav Asi, I'm going to clarify what you probably heard. You probably heard a halacha with regards to a klicheris that was inside an oyel ames. It was covered with a tzamad possible, meaning it was sealed on top. The halacha is a tzamad possible protects, but it only protected if it's a keli. If the hole in the keli is so big that it's not a keli anymore, that it won't protect it anymore. So he said, what you probably heard when you said, when you were told that a kli cheres that has a hole the size of a moitzi rimoin, that's when it's not considered a keli anymore. You probably heard it with regards to tzamad pasul. So the Gemara says, if you hold the cheshbon for what Rava said, Rava seems to contradict himself, because Rava Udama, Rava said, when he went through his chamish midos bekli cheres, he said, mufkav tzamad pasul, achi yifchas rubai. He said that as it relates to treating this kli cheres as a keli, regarding mukav tzamad pasul, you would need that it should be yifchas rubai. But if it's not yifchas rubai, then you don't have this halacha. So it's a stira. Here he said it's kemaitzi rimoin, that's the shear. And here he said the shear is yifchas rubai. The Gemara says, like, are we dealing with a large kli, or are we dealing with a small kli? If you're dealing with a large kli, a very large kli, then you would need yifchas rubai for it not to be considered a keli anymore. If you're dealing with a smaller kli, then if the hole is big enough that it could be maitzi rimoin, then already it's not considered a keli at anymore, all as it relates to the halacha of mukav tzamid pasul. I'm Rav Asi, another halacha. We heard it. We were taught that kli cheres, you're becoming mashke, that a kli cheres that has a hole the size that a mashke can come inside. That was the second of the chamish midas pli kli cheres that Rava mentioned earlier. So if it has a hole that size, it's not going to be considered a keli anymore. So the Gemara says, "Layamru mitzi mashka ela le'inyan gistera bilvat." But when you find the shear mitzi mashka, the first shear was only said with regards to gistera, which is what Rava said when Rava went through the chamish midas b'klicheres. So what was the smallest hole that has any halachic significance? If it's so small or big enough that it's mitzi mashka. So what was the halacha when it's mitzi mashka? It's tar milatame gistera. It would impact only a gistera. So if you had a kli cheres, it's not a full kli, it's a shard, that's when it would impact it. But as it relates to a keli, the smallest shear was the second shear that Rava said, which was bekoines mashka, which is exactly what Rav Asi said. Meaning, if it's so small that it could only be mitzi mashka, it would never impact a full kli. It would only impact a gistera. If it's a little bit bigger, it's bekoines mashka, that's when it would impact a full kli. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason for this? The reason is because you have a keli that has a very, very small hole, so small that all it impacts is that it makes that if there's a mashke inside, the mashke is going to drip out. You don't have to use it for liquids, you can use it for solid. I mean, that's the only impact. But then, even if you want to use it for a liquid, what you would maybe do is you would bring a gistera. You would bring an earthenware shard, put it underneath, and like this, you'd improvise. You'd be able to use it. But if you have a gistera that has a hole on the bottom, so the way to use it would be to bring a gistera. Says the Gemara, Ein oimrim hava gistera, the gistera. No one does that. And as a result, once the gistera has a hole, even if it's kemoitzi mashka, it's not considered anymore. It's not considered a hole. Says the Gemara, Yesib rab abim, rab yesib rab zavdo. Those machlik, zamar pchadim, once a kemoitzi rimoin, v'chadim, k'shayrish katan. So which halacha are we talking about? So Rashi clarifies. Rashi says they were arguing behechshir zroim. So they were discussing how big a hole has to be in order to make an atzitz nakav. So, for example, in the Mishnah, we saw according to the Chachamim, there's a nafgamina between an atzitz nakav and an atzitz sheinu nakav. So the question is, what's the shear? What makes something an atzitz nakav versus an einu nakav? So Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Zav, they had a machlokes. One said kemoitzi rimoin, and one said kishoyrish katan. If you had the cheshbin of Rava, kishoyrish katan was the third shear that he mentioned. K'moytzi Riemann was the fifth shear that he mentioned. Being that Rava said, Chomesh Midois Bikli Cheres, so really it was the third one and the last one, says the Gemara. So we have here a machloikis, Rabbi Yossi Bar Ababin and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavdo, which one is the shear as it relates to how big the hole has to be in an atzitz to make it into an atzitz nagav? One said it was the third, one said it was the fifth. The simanich, a good way to remember, is Echad Amarba, the Echad Amamet. Says Rashi, what does this mean? What's the simen? The simen is one man dama said the largest possible share, and the other one said the smallest possible share. Says Rashi, why? Why is this the largest and the smallest? He had the largest of the five, that was the Rimoin, but the Sheirish Katan wasn't the smallest, we just said it was the third. So why is it the largest and the smallest? Why is it the Marbin the Mamach? Why is that the Simon to remember? So Rashi says, because really the first two are off the table. There was no way in the world that if you have an Otzitz that has a hole that's either Kemoitzi Mashko or Kemachnis Mashko, that it would have a din of an Otzitz Nakov. No way. No one's entertaining that. So the smallest possible shear that we could even entertain is the shear of a Sheirish Katan. The largest one is the Rimoin. Oh, so if that's the case, one man dama said Rimoin, one man dama said Sheirish Katan, a simon would be Echad Amarba, the Echad Hamamet. A little more on this topic. Amar Rebchina bar Kana, Meshmedi Rebbe Liyaz, a Klicheres, Shiyura Kimoitzi Zeisim, a Klicheres, the Shir is Kimoitzi Zeisim, Mark Shishu Beid Rabbe Masayim, Ba Meshmedi Rebbe Liyazer, Varehen Kikli Gilolim, Ukli Avonim, Ukli Adom. What's he referring to? He was referring to a Klicheres that's Tomei. The halacha is that if it has a hole big enough that it could be Moitzi Zayis, now it's going to be Tar. And that's really the halacha of a Kli Cheres. How big does the hole have to be in order for it to not be a Keli anymore, that it wouldn't be Tame anymore, or wouldn't be able to be Makabel Tome moving forward? So if it's the size of a Moitzi Zayis, there is another shear that's Kedei Lekabel Rimoinim, and that is in the event that this Kli Cheres that you have was typically used for things that were bigger. But ordinarily, the standard textbook shear is Ki Moitzi Zayis. And not just that, Rabu, they went weiter. And Amiram said that we will makabel the name Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have a Kli Cheres, which is makabel tumah, and it has a hole now, kemoitzi zayis, it's treated like Kli Glolim, Kli Avonim, and Kli Adoma, she'ein makabel tumah, loy midivrei Torah, v'loy midivrei Sefer. What about the Inyan Tzomid Pasul? What about with regards to the size of a Kli Cheres that has a hole, the size of the hole in the Kli Cheres? When is it so big, the hole, that it's not considered a keli, that if it's going to be in an oil ames, the halacha is that if it's sealed, what's inside the keli would be protected. You have the halacha of mukav tzamid pasul. So the Gemara says what it said earlier, achi yifchas rubai. And on that note, hadrin halach ha-matznia. So let's go right in, a deep dive into Perek HaZorik. So it's interesting, there are two prokim in Shas that are called Perek HaZorik. There's Perek HaZorik in Masechtas Gittin, and there's Perek HaZorik in Masechtas Shabbos. Leiroi zeh kuroi zeh, veleiroi zeh kuroi zeh. Hatzad ha-shavah shabahen is that they're lomdish prokim. The backdrop of Perek HaZorik is the halachas of Aitzah. We've mentioned this many times, that the laws of Aitzah, the 39th Malacha, what Tosfos says throughout Shas, twice on Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, on today's daf, is a Malacha Gerua, yet, for whatever reason, disproportionate amount of the Masechta, if you go count the Dafin, it's incredible. Prokin, Mishnayis, Dafin, Gemaras, Lamdes, Super Lamdes, all related to Aitzah. The beginning of the Masechta, really, the first 7-8 Dafin of the Masechta was intense Haitzah. This next parak is really the rest of the story. It's Yagadol of Reya. It's the flip side of the coin of those Gemaras that we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. Either way, the parak begins with a very geshmak gedaf. Says the Mishnah, Hazoyrek, Mishus Hayach, Rishus Rabin. If somebody throws something from a Rishus Hayach to Rishus Rabin, or Rishus Rabin, Rishus Hayach, he throws something from a Rishus Rabin to a Rishus Hayach, Chayev. In either case, he's going to be Chayev. What's the Chedesh? We know that there's a malacha called Aitzah. Aitzah states you're not allowed to carry from Rishus Hayach to Rishus Rabin, from Rishus Rabin to Rishus Hayach. Traditionally, when you think of carrying, somebody picks something up and he walks it out. Akiran, one Rishus, Hanach and the other Rishus, but you're holding it all the way. You escort it to the other Rishus. What if I throw it? I didn't physically walk it, I threw it. That's this Mishnah. If somebody throws something, either from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Harabim, or from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayachid, either way you're going to be Chayv. Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Hayachid, Rishus Harabim, bam, so, oh, if somebody throws something from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Hayachid, and it passed through a Rishus Harabim, so you throw something from one side of a busy street to another side of a busy street, you were standing in a Rishus Hayachid, you threw something that landed in a Rishus Hayachid, but the thing that you threw went through the ear space of the Rishus Harabim. So technically, it went from Rishus Hayachid to Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayachid. But then again, never really rested in the Rishus Harabim. So how do you look at this? So this is a very well-known machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. Rabbi Akiva mechayiv the Chacham and Poitra. Rabbi Akiva says, chayiv, chom, save, potter. And this machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham, is going to be very much the topic topic of tomorrow's daf. Ketzad. So the Mishnah explains the shita of the Chacham. If you would have two balconies, two porches facing each other on the other side of a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, if somebody would throw something from one side to the other side, or even if he would hand something off from one side to the other side, he would be potter. That's the Chacham Shita. What would be if you have two balconies on the same side of the Rishus HaRabim, and you go and you pass something from one to the other? So it's the same difference, really. Because, again, you're going from one balcony to another balcony. We're assuming the balconies are Rishus HaYachids. When you take it from balcony A to balcony B, you're crossing through a Rishus HaRabim. Yet, over here, the halach is going to be different. So what's the halach? Amoshet chayiv. If you pass it, you're going to be chayiv. Hazoirik potter. But if you throw, you're going to be potter. At first glance, what's the difference between Zoirik and Moshet? And what's the difference if they're on this side of Rishus HaRabim, that side of Rishus HaRabim? Based on the lumdis of whatever's going on over here, whatever's going on. But why would it matter if I'm on the same side of the street or from the other side of the street? That would seem to be a technical point, says the Gemara. It is technical. However, Hilchas Shabbos is technical. Because at the end of the day, the Malachas are learned to have from what happened in the Mishkan. What happened when they were building the Mishkan. And over there, the Levim used to travel carrying the beams of the Beis HaMikdash on their wagons. And the way the wagons traveled was Shtei Agolei Zuachazu. You would have wagons one behind the other, Rishus HaRabim, meaning in Rishus HaRabim, but on the same side of the Rishus HaRabim, like going in a, literally, one behind the other, and Meshitin HaKrashim Yizulazu. And the Levim would pass, sometimes, the Krashim from one wagon to another wagon. Now, the wagons had a din of Rishus HaYachid. It was passing through the Rishus HaRabim. They didn't throw the beams. What they did was they passed it. They handed it off. So being that it was Hashata, it wasn't Zrika. So essentially, you find the concept of Moshet, Mirshus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, in the preparation of the Mishkan, but only when it was on one side. So that is the premise and the source of the Chachamim Shita, Avaloi Zarkin. They didn't throw it, So again, we learned Dumya, the Malachas HaMishkan, so whatever was in the Mishkan, that's what goes down as being part of the Malacha of Ha'itzah. Zok the Gemara, Mechti Zrika, Tolda de Ha'itzahi. The Mishnah said, Hazoyrek, Mirshus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Mirshus HaRabim, Mirshus HaYachid, Chayev. The name of the parak is Hazoyrek, because it's discussing someone that throws something, Mirshus Lishus. We're clearly implying Chayev means Chayev Chatas, Chayev Skila, Chayev Karis. Chayev means that it's an Issa Deiraisa. So if that's the case, if Zrika's an Issa Deiraisa, says the Gemara, it must be a Tolda. A Tolda of which one of the Malachas? It must be a Tolda of the Malacha of Hoitzah. Why is it not Hoitzah? Because Hoitzah is when you walk it. Here, you throw it. It's very similar. That's why it's a Tolda. But the Gemara says it's probably a Tolda. Says the Gemara, Hoitzah, Guf Heicha Ksiva. Where's there a Pasuk? Where do you find anywhere in the Torah that Hoitzah is in and of itself a problem? I'm Rabbi Yochanan said, Dama Kratz learned that from the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayitzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kobam Achle Lemer, Ish V'isha, Al Yasu Oid Malacha, L'chumas HaKodesh, Vayikole Ha'om Mehavi. Moshe Rabbeinu makes an announcement, Bamachana, and he says that don't bring anything now. We're not accepting any more donations. I don't want you to bring anything. Says the Pasuk, Vayikole Ha'om Mehavi. Says the Gemara, Now Moshe, Heichan Hava, Yosef, where was Moshe and Machna Leviya? Umachna Leviya, Rishus HaRabim Havai. V'kabalu Yisrael, what Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Yidin Leisafiku, V'teisu Mishus HaYachad, Itchul Rishus HaRabim. Don't bring me anything. Why? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu say we don't want any more money? Why would he say no muzav, kesef, nechayshes, we don't want tcheilas argoma to lashani v'shesh? Why would he have said that? Probably because he was saying this on Shabbos, and he didn't want the Yidden to carry. Because bringing in a dove meant taking it out of your house, Akira, bringing it to Machna Levi, bringing it to Moshe, that's a Rishus HaRabim. So you see from here that there's a concept called Hoitzah. But the Gemara says, how do you know that's what it means? Dilma b'chol koi. Maybe this had nothing to do with Shabbos. Maybe it's really happened during the week. And maybe the reason Moshe made this announcement is not because it was Shabbos and he didn't want the oil to carry on Shabbos, but they simply didn't need any more money. They reached their goal, and as a result, wasn't necessary to raise money anymore. As the Pasuk says, Malacha is a dying, so before Pasuk, that's what happened. So the Gemara says, I hear. You could say that that's what it means. But at the same time, there's a drasha over here. You know why? Because Gomer Havar of Yom Kippur. We learn Xer Shava, the word Vayaviru, Tahavar, it says, Ksivach, it says over here, Vayaviru, Kabba Machna. Fixed Fasim, and it says over there, Vabat, the Shofar, Trua, on Yom Kippur, Yovel, they used to blow Shofar, so all the slaves went free. But the point is, Vavar, the Shofar, Trua, Malahal, but Yom, also just like over there, was on Yom Kippur, which is a day that's Asr, Asr, Ben Malacha, Avkam, Yom, Asr. So too over here, it must be referring to a day that's Asr b'Malacha. So again, the Gemara said, if Zrika is Asr, it must be a Tolda Vaitzah. If that's the case, Haitzah is for sure one of the malachas. If Haitzah is one of the malachas, there must be a source somewhere in the Torah that tells me Haitzah is aser. So the Gemara says, Haitzah gufa heicha ksiva. The Gemara has a pasuk. Vayitzav Moshe vayaviru kol b'mach nalemer ish v'isha al yasu oy malacha l'trumas ha-kodesh. Vayikol ha-mahavi. Pashup shad is, we're no longer accepting donations. The drasha is, we are maybe accepting, no, the drasha is that at the same time, there's another halacha over here, and that is it's Shabbos today, and because it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, so you see from here, there's something called, Haitzah, says, we're Hashkechon Haitzah, Hachnasa Minalon, you see from here that Haitzah, don't take from your Rishos HaYachid and bring it to Machnel, and bring it to Moshe Benu. But how do you know that Hachnasa is Aser? Now, where do you see in the Mishnah that Hachnasa is Aser? Because the Mishnah said, Azorik Mishos HaYachid Rishos HaRabin, that's Haitzah, Mishos HaRabin Rishos that's Achnasa. So clearly Achnasa is also Asa. So says the Gemara, where do you see Achnasa? Zok the Gemara, Svaruhu, Mechti. Rishus, Rishusu. The end of the day, Haitzah is taking from one Rishus to another Rishus. And if that's the case, Mali Afuki, Mali Yuli, what difference does it make? Says the Gemara, that's true. I hear. So we have a Makar Haitzah, and we know we know Hachnasa Misvara. Miu, Haitzah, Av, Hachnasa Talda. Says the Gemara, at the end of the day, Haitzah is the Av Malacha, and Hachnasa, as similar as it is to Haitzah, is not going to go down as the Av Malacha, it's going to go down as the Talda. Says the Gemara, Umechti. Let's continue and think this through. Aham Mechayev, Aham Mechayev. Yechayev Haitzah, and Yechayev Hachnasa. If that's the case, Amai Karolehai Av, Amai Karolehai Talda. Why is one an Av, and why is one a Talda? Now, the truth is, this question that the Gemara is asking, tucked away in Shabbos, Dav Tzadik Vavam days, the Gemara could asked on Shabbos Dav Beis. At the very least, the Gemara could have discussed this in Periklal Gadol when we introduced the Melachos, right? This Arbaim Melachos Chaser Achas. But Avos Melachos, Mechlal Dikataldas, what's the difference between an Av and a Talda? But this is really the age-old question. What difference is there between an Av and a Talda? If someone does an Av, someone does a Talda, is there a difference? So the Gemara says, Nafkamina, this is where it plays out in Nafkamina, the Avot state, Avos Badi Adadi. If somebody would do two Avos together, meaning Behelim Echad, B'Shoigig, Inami Shtei Taldas Badi Adadi, or if he would do two Taldas again, B'shoigig, behelim echad, mechayiv tarti, you would have to bring two chatois. If you do an aven, it's tolda, lay mechayiv elechad. So you want to know why it's negeya that hachnasa is a tolda of Haitzah, as opposed to its own av, where it chapsa nafgamina is if someone would do Haitzah and hachnasa, b'shoigig, would you bring one chatas, or would you bring two chatois? If it would be two malachas, you'd bring two. If it's one malacha, you would only bring one. Oh, the Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayev told the Malkama, Rabbi Eliezer, Shita is that Yechayev for a Tolda b'Malkama. Meaning, if someone does an Av and it's Tolda, b'Shoigig, b'Helem Echad, you have to bring two Chatois. Am I Karli Av? Am I Karli Tolda? Why is one called an Av? Why is one called a Tolda? So it was Hachtavoy b'Mishkan Chashiv Karli Av. It's just based on what was in the Mishkan Chashiv. Hachtavoy b'Mishkan Chashiva Loi Karli Av Inami, or you could say Hachtachsiva Karli Av. Whatever has a pasuk is considered Av. V'Idolik Siva Karli Tolda. Whatever doesn't have a pasuk is called a Tolda. So essentially, the Gemara didn't really give us a nafgamina lahalacha between an av and a tolda. The Gemara explained why one thing would be an av, one would be a tolda. What was chashiv in the Mishkan is the av. What was not chashiv in the Mishkan is called a tolda. What has a pasuk is called an av. What doesn't have a pasuk would be considered a tolda. Is there a nafgamina between an av and a tolda? Not really. There is a nafgamina between doing two avos versus doing an av and its tolda. Where's the nafgamina if you do a b'shoigig? If you do a b'shoigig, two avos, even behelam echad, with one forgetfulness, you'd have to bring two chatois. If you do an aven, it's tolda, behelam echad, then the halacha is, it's considered one malacha, meaning that it's considered one malacha, over there you would only be chayiv one. But as it relates to a nafgamina between doing an av, just an av, and a tolda, just a tolda, in a vacuum, there really is no nafgamina. They're both asim midayraisa. One is chashiva, one isn't the pasuk. We'll talk more about this. But for now, the Gemara didn't really give a nafgamina lahalacha between an av per se and a tolda per se. What the Gemara did explain is why one thing's an av, one thing's a tolda. And another thing the Gemara explained is that there is a nafgamina between doing two avos versus doing an av and its tolda. So as it relates to that, there would be nafgaminas. Zok. The Gemara Vayit. We learned in a Mishnah, because if somebody throws something four amos and it lands against the wall, if it's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then the halacha is kazarik ba'aver. It's considered as if it landed in the ear. Lamata me'asar tefachim. If it landed on the side of the wall less than tefachim from the ground, gezorik baretz, and then it's as if it landed on the aretz. Vazorik baretz, arba amis chayim. If you throw something in the aretz, four amis, you're going to be chayim. So we're going to see a lot more about this in tomorrow's daf. But the point is that Rishus HaRabim's ear space is only considered Rishus HaRabim up to 10 tefachim. Anything that's lamayim with 10 tefachim is not considered the ear space. So if you throw something in a Rishus HaRabim and it lands on the side of a wall, so it's as if it landed in the Rishus HaRabim. But it landed in the Rishus HaRabim at the height of where it is on the side of the wall. So if it's L'mayla Me'asar Tfachim, then even though it technically landed in a Rishus HaRabim, but halachically it didn't land in a Rishus HaRabim, so you're not going to be chai. If it was L'mata Me'asar Tfachim, then it's Gezerik Baretz, Tommy. So if it went for Tfachim, that loch is, you're going to be chai. What do you see from this Mishnah? You see from this Mishnah that there's another way to violate the 39th Malach, seemingly. And that is not necessarily carrying a Mishnah Sayach Shas Arabim, or Mishnah Sarabim Lashas Sayachit, but what we know as Gzeir Shema Yavireno Dalar Amis Mishnah Sarabim. You can carry something Dalar Amis Mishnah. You do an Akir in the beginning of Dalar Amis, you do Anach at the end of Dalar Amis, you take it to four Amis in Rosh Hashanah, that in and of itself would also be considered the Malacha of Hoitzah, so to speak. It's really Havvara. Hoitzah is usually when you take it from Rosh Hashanah. You didn't take it from Rosh Hashanah, but it technically falls under the umbrella of the 39th Malacha. So in the spirit of finding sources to the Malacha of Hoitzah, we have a Pasuk, Vayitzav Moshe Vayavir Kol B'machna, we have Achnasa is a Svara. So in that context, says the Gemara, Zarek, Arba Amis B'Shus Rabbim, Menon Mechayev, Hadi Ro Yechayev, for throwing something down on Amis B'Shus Rabbim, Amrab Yoshia, Rabbi Yoshia said, Shekin Orge Yerioiz, Zarek, because the weavers, when they used to sit and weave the curtains for the Mishkan, so they would weave in a Rishus HaRabim, and sometimes they would throw their needles to each other. The needles would go across the curtain, which is Dalet Amis, more than Dalet Amis, and as a result, they would throw something Dalet Amis, Rishus HaRabim. So you see the concept of Havara Dalet Amis, Rishus HaRabim, in the preparation of the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Ergen Machten Lama, the weavers don't use needles. Okay. Ella, says the Gemara, Shekein Toifrei Yerios, not the weavers, but rather the sewers. They were Zarkim Achteim Zelazeh. But the Gemara says, V'domu Gabi Adadi Haviyasvi. How do you know, even if you assume that they would shear needles and they would throw it sometimes, but how do you know that they would throw it Dalet Amis? Maybe they were next to each other. So the Gemara says, Mato Hadadi Ben Machteh. If they were too close to each other, they wouldn't be able to sew. They would be, but the Gemara says, V'domu B'teich Arba Amis Haviyasvi. Maybe they didn't sit literally on top of each other, but maybe they were within Dalet Amis. So what's the Makar to carrying Dalet Amis? And if anything, maybe you have a Makar that if you carry even less than Dalet Amis, it should be a problem. Elam Rav Chiz said, Shekein Orge Yuria, is back to the weavers, Zarkin Buchir by Yuria. They would throw their shuttle across the width of the curtain, and that's where we learn it out from. Says when a weaver would throw a shuttle, he would throw it to the other weaver, but some of it would still be in his hand. It was like Hidabe. He's still holding it. So if he's still holding it, then Luchura, that's not a real Zrika. It's not a real Havara. So the Gemara says, Beniska Basra, that when it's at the end of its life span, meaning when you're running out of thread, then you would sometimes just throw it and get rid of it. You wouldn't hold on to it anymore. But the Gemara says, V'mokim P'tur Ka'azla, the assumption is that the weavers that are throwing this shuttle between each other, so it's between this area that they're sitting, it's between the two panels. That area, even if it was in a Rishus HaRabim, should be Kaveya Makim La'atzmai. It should have its own status in Halacha. It should be considered a Makim Tor, so as if it traveled in a Makim Tor. So how could this be the source for Dalet Amis B'Shus HaRabim? So Gemara says, I hear. Elo Shekein Orge Yerias Zorkin Buchir L'Shayaleh. Again, the weavers, and again, they're throwing the shuttle. But they're not throwing it across of the panels, but they're lending it to someone that's working in another station. Over there, it's just going across the Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara says, how do you know they were so far away from each other that again, it would have to go Dalet Amis? The Gemara says, if they were too close to each other, again, they would be bumping into each other, their elbows. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe they would stagger them. Maybe they were sitting next to each other, they're within Dalet Amis, but they staggered them in a way where they weren't bumping into each other. Vesu says, the Gemara, Mishili Ma'adadi. Is that even true? Did the weavers have to borrow things from each other? But Tanya learned in a bride. So Ludo said, we learn from them that every person came equipped, he had his own toolbox, he needed whatever he needed, he had. They didn't have to borrow, they didn't have to lend. There was, everybody had what they needed. So this never happened anyways. Besu says the Gemara, Maver Arba Amos, even if this is a Makar, it would only be a Makar for throwing. But you would still need a makar for carrying kavara. You see, haitzah and zrika is not literally the same thing. As it relates to mirshus l'shus, haitzah is the malacha and zrika is only the told of the malacha. So over here, it says the Gemara, if that's the case, you would still be missing a makar for marba armas b'shus harabim. Says the Gemara, Ella, you have to say, Kol arba amos b'shus harabim, as it relates to carrying dalet amos b'shus harabim, it has nothing to do with dumi the malach samishkan, but rather gemara gemirila. We know it in Masaira. This is all based on a halacha l'maish mi'sinai. In fact, there's a difference between the malach of haitzah and the malach of havara. Haitzah is just another one of the 39 malachas. As it relates to havara, havara is learned out from halacha l'maish mi'sinai. Metz Hashem, we'll speak out some raid on this in the next day or two, but for now, just one ha'ara as it relates to today's daf, and then we'll go back to yesterday's daf. And that is, so the Gemara had here on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Beis a whole discussion of trying to find a makar. How do you know? Where do you know the Malach of Eitzah? Just the top line on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Beis. You don't have to go further than that. Mechti, Zrika told of Eitzah. Zrika is a told of Eitzah. Haitzah Gufa, says the Gemara, Heichik Siva. Where do you find Haitzah? What's the makar to Haitzah? And the Gemara brings a pasuk. Vayetzav Moshe, Vayaviru Kol Mamachna Lemar, Ish V'isha Yasu Oid Malach. Why? Because he was telling them on Shabbos, don't carry anymore. I don't want you to bring anything to me, because at this point, it's Shabbos, and you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Frey Toisvis, I don't understand. I don't understand. You need a pasuk to tell me that haitzah is a malacha? Do we have a pasuk for the other 38 malachas? No. In fact, the only one of the malachas that has a pasuk is le'sevaru esh b'chol moish v'seichem b'yem ha'shabbos. And you know what Rabbi Yossi holds? It's l'lav yatzis. He holds that pasuk must be a gilui, that it's not even a regular malachas. If a malach, we don't have pasukim for malachas. You also have b'charush v'akatzur tishbois, which according to some tanaim is a pasuk. But for the most part, the lamites malachas do not have any pasukim. Rather, how do you know the lamites malachas? Dumi the malachas mishkan. Whatever was considered chashuv in the mishkan, in the preparation of the mishkan, goes down as being a malacha. So maman of shach, if haitzah was used in the malachas mishkan, then it's a malacha. And if it wasn't used in the malachas mishkan, it's not a malacha. The Gemara says haitzah gufa heicha ksiva. You don't need a pasuk for the malachas. So Tosfos says what he says so many times throughout Shas, and that is lefi shemelacha geruahi. Haitzah is different. Haitzah is different than all the other malachas. Haitzah is a malacha geruah, and being that haitzah is a malacha geruah, even though the other malachas didn't require a pasuk, they need no scriptural source to tell me how I know it's one of the malachas. It's a malacha if it was used in the preparation of the mishkan. But haitzah is an anomaly. Haitzah is different because haitzah is a malacha geruah. What does it mean? It's a malacha geruah. It's an inferior malacha. What makes it inferior? Because you're not creating anything when you do haitzah. All you're doing is moving it from point A to point B. Nothing physically changed. You just moved the location. That's all. In fact, if I would move it from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid, it wouldn't be a problem. But if it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, that somehow makes it into a malach. The answer is, yeah, that's why it's a malach gruah. So throughout the Masechta, already more than 3 months into Masechta Shabbos, time flies when you're having fun. But we've spoken out so much lumdis related to malach gruah. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan and Bar Yitzchak's Chiddush, that maybe the reason there's no Chatzi Shir Asim and HaTorah by the malach of Eitzah, Rabbi Kvegas Kash, if somebody carries Beis Amos, he should be Chayiv for Chatzi Shir, says Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, that could be, being that it's a malacha gerua, by a malacha gerua there's no chatzi shir, asa min ha-toyre, the Pnei Yeshua's chiddush, in the beginning of Perek B'Meh Behema, that even though there's an iser called Shvisas Behema, I can't do malacha, my Behema can't either do malacha, but the Pnei Yeshua says a chiddush, a Behema is allowed to do Aitzah, midday raisa, there's no iser day raisa for your Behema to carry something for you, and the reason is because Aitzah is a malacha gerua, and Shvisas Behema was never said with regards to a malacha gerua. Tosfos said that the reason Masechta Shabbos begins with the malacha of haitzah is because it's a malacha geruah. We spoke out that maybe because haitzah is a malacha geruah, that's precisely what makes it so chashuv. We tied it in to the vart from the Kasher Glava Gayin, that why the Yidden, even though they had 38 malachas in Mara, but according to the Mandama that says that b'mara le'nifkedu atchumin hu adin, Tosfos speaks out, and that pays Zayinim Adays, they didn't get haitzah either. Why? Because to have a haitzah, you have to be a full-fledged yid. What does that mean? What's the svara in that? Haitzah is a malacha gerua. Yet, in order to have a haitzah, the yidin had to be at Har Sinai. It had to be noch nasav and ishma. Mara was before nasav and ishma. Mara, they had 38 malachas of the 39 malachas. But haitzah says Tosfos, the yidin didn't get until when? Until they said nasav and ishma. It's more kaddish. It's more kaddish, said the Kasher Glava Gayin. What's the pshat?
What's the pshat? The pshat is precisely because it's a malacha gerua, because it shows that we're so kaddish on Shabbos that we can't even do a malacha gerua. But again, this is all raid that we've spoken about. Mi'atz Hashem will speak more about, but I just wanted to do part two of yesterday's raid. And that is, yesterday we spoke out a very important toisvis, tucked away in Mesachta Shabbos, Tav Tzadikei Amidav. The Gemara said, if someone makes cheese on Shabbos, if someone's megabin on Shabbos, the halacha is, he's chayef. Says the Gemara, you're chayef for making cheese. What did you do? So the Gemara says, you're a boina. Because what is boina? You take parts and you turn it into one. So if somebody takes a liquid and he makes it into a salad, the halach is he's going to be considered a boina. Says Tosfos, if that's the case, I have a kasha. Because that's poshet, that it's mutter to make cheese on Yontif. Because even if making cheese is a malacha, but it's a malachas oichel nefesh. I mean that it's a malachas oichel nefesh, ebein Shabbos liyantiv, elo malachas oichel nefesh bushvad. So it says Tosfos, that's pasha, that to make cheese on yontiv is going to be mutter. If that's the case, if making cheese on yontiv is going to be mutter, then it should be mutter to build anything that you want on yontiv. You know why? Because we paskin like Basil who holds that mitoich shehutra malacha letzorich oichel nefesh, hutra malacha nami shaloi letzorich oichel nefesh. It's for that reason you're allowed to carry your machzor to shul on yontiv. Even though it's a tso, which is a malacha, and it's not letzoyer chaychal nefesh, but mitoich shehutra malacha letzoyer chaychal nefesh, hutra nami shaloi letzoyer chaychal nefesh. It's freit tois akasha. If that's the case, you should be allowed to do boina, because if megabin is boina, and you're allowed to do megabin on yontif, because it's a malacha chaychal nefesh. So say mitoich shehutra boina letzoyer chaychal nefesh, hutra nami shaloi letzoyer chaychal nefesh. Says tois v'senachinami. I think that is the case. Midei raisa. Midei rabbanon, however, it's going to be yasser. Why the ishloimah to asa midei rabbanon to have a uvda decha. We spoke out that the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchas Shvisas Yontif Alacha Gimel Alacha Dalet, when he introduces melachos that are not oichel nefesh that are asra yontif, so the Rambam says kigoyin zereya boina soiser boina. The Rambam lists boina. So you see, the Rambam held that boina is not only a melacha on Shabbos, but boina is also a melacha on yontif. Even it's a melacha on yontif, it's not a melacha soichel nefesh. So the Chasam Sofer is medayik that you see from the Rambam, not like Tosfos. In other words, we have a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. Boina on yontif, is it an issa de raisa or is it an issa de rabbana? We mentioned yesterday Rabbi Yisroch Elchanan's naf that made it into the Mishnah Brura, and that is, if someone on Sukkot, whose Sukkah falls down, could you tell a guy, Amir Lakum, to go build a Sukkah for you? According to Tosfos, it's a Shvos, the Shvos. Amir Lakum's a Shvos. Binyan on Yontif's a Shvos. You're doing it for your Sukkah, so it's a Tzarech Mitzvah. Shvos, the Shvos, the Malkum Mitzvah. It's Halacha, Psukah, Hilcha, Shabbos, Simen, Shin, Zayin, Siv, Katan, Hey. Not Simen, Shin, Hey. Simen, Shin, Zayin, Siv, Katan, Hey. It's okay. So the Halacha is it would be Mutter. According to the Rambam, that it's a Malacha Day Rises, you would not be allowed to tell a guy on Yontif to go ahead and build your sukkah for you. In that piece, where the Chasam Sofer discusses this Tosfos and the Rambam, in Mesechtes Beyo, Daf Yud Beis Amid Aleph, the Chasam Sofer asks a kasha from a Gemara Mesechtes Shavuos, Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. The context of the Gemara is Ein Kan Zman Oy Laharach. But the punchline of the Gemara is that Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Doicha Shabbos, the Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Doicha Yontif. So in the event that there was a renovation that the Sanhedrin deemed was necessary for the Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara, in the context of a super geshmaka sugya, says, Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Doicha Shabbos, the Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Doicha Yontif. Zogt Chasam Sofer, L'chayra Bishloima, Bishloima according to the Rambam, that Binyan on Yontif is an Issa D'Raisa. So I understand that Binyan Beis HaMikdash won't be Doicha Yontif, because Binyan Beis HaMikdash is an essay. V'osuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'soicha. So it's a mitzvah's essay. To do Malacha on Yontif is a loisa se v'asei. And the Gemara always says this is the Asay de Shabbos. Rav Ashi throughout Shah says that Yontif is a lois Asay v'Asay. That's why an Asay is never doicha the Isure Yontif. It's not doicha the Isure Shabbos, because Shabbos is a lois Asay sheyesh by Mises Bezdin, lois Asay sheyesh by Karis. But it's not even doicha the Isure Yontif, even though there's no Mises Bezdin on Yontif and there's no Karis on Yontif, because it's a lois Asay v'Asay. So it's moving. It makes a lot of sense why Asay is not doicha. Why Asay is not doicha lois Asay. But says the Chasam Sofer according to Tosfos, that Tosfos holds that binyan on Yontif is only an Issa d'Rabbanan. Why? Because mitoich shehutra binyan megabin letzayir chaychal nefesh hutra nami shleil letzayir chaychal nefesh, and all it is an uvda dechayil. So how is it possible that because of an uvda dechayil they be mevatel binyan beis hamikdash? Where do you find that ain binyan beis hamikdash doicha an uvda dechayil? So says the Chasam Sofer, I think libi oimerli. Libi Oimeli, that the Makar to the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that Binyan is Asra Yontif, was a Dakimar Mesach Teshvuos. It was Pasha to me that that's what he held, and that's why the Rambam held that probably there's no mitoich. Why is there no mitoich? So that was the rate we spoke at yesterday. Chassam Sofer's beautiful svar. The only time you say mitoich is if the av malach is hutul letzayich chaychol nevesh. But if you only find it in the tod, but mahich riach harambam. Says the Chassam Sofer, what forced him to say this svara? He had a sugi and shas that he felt was too challenging to reconcile, according to Tosfos, because the Gemara says, Ein binyan beis hamikdash doicha yantif. So on that theme of Ein binyan beis hamikdash doicha yantif, I think it's kedai to be marchiv a little bit. There's a well-known Gemara. Everyone's heard this. It's a Mishnah, Mesechtes Sukkah, Perek Lulav HaGazel, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Mishachar Beis Hamikdash." When the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Hagoyla, and he made a takana. He made two takanas. One takana was Shei Lulav Nitol BeMedina Shiva. In the times of the Beis Hamikdash, people took Dalad Minin 7 days, but outside of the Beis Hamikdash, Uzul Kachdim Lechem BeYemirishay. It was only one day. We today take Dalad Minim 7 days. It's all mitakonas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It was Mishachar Beis Hamikdash. He wanted there should be a Zeichel Hamikdash. So when we take Shivas Ham, when we take the Dalad Minim, the rest of Sukkot, what we're doing is we're making a Zeichel Hamikdash. Another takona that he said was Vishiyehe Yoim Hanaf Kula Yaser. He said that on Tez Zayin Nisan, the entire day, Tez Zayin Nisan, you should not be able to eat. You should not be able to eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha. So once upon a time, there was an Isser called Chadash. Now, in some circles, even nowadays, there's an Isser Chadash. But once upon a time, Chadash was a Dindai rice. It was something very chomer. On Tez Zayin Nisan, the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, Pesach is Tezvav Nisan, so Tez Zayin, literally the next day, the Yidden brought a Karban Omer. And when they brought a Karban Omer, so the Karban Omer was matter the Yidden to eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha. Said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash, I want that this day, the day that the Karban Omer is supposed to be brought, should be Aser. You should not be able to eat at all from the Tfuah HaChadasha. Now the truth is that Midai Raisa, in the event that there isn't going to be a carbon oimer, so then the halach is mishehei rayoim, first thing in the morning, really you're allowed to eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned, he was hoping that meheri yibana beis hamikdash, and he didn't want people to get confused. He thought, did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that if we're going to allow people first thing in the morning after the churban to go ahead and eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha, they may do it when there's carbonus, and when there's carbonus, then you're not allowed to do it, because when there's carbonus, you have to wait for the carbon. Says the Gemara inside, my time, why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai make that second takana? He said, "Meheri yibana beis hamikdash," because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was hoping the beis hamikdash would be bull. The Yomra people are going to say, "Ishtakid last year, milo yachalnu b'hayam mizrach." First thing in the morning, we were already eating tefuah hachadosha. Hashtanami nechol. Let's do the same thing. Inu layadi, they may not realize the ishtakid lehavas beis hamikdash. Last year, there was no beis hamikdash. Hey, or mizrach hit there. So when it was hey or mizrach, it was mutter first thing in the morning. But hashtadik beis hamikdash. But now that it's a beis hamikdash, hey or mizrach is not matter anymore. What do you need now? Now you need the Yomra to be matter. So because of this concern, he said, just don't eat the whole day. Says the Gemara, I have a technical problem. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is worried that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, when? On Chol HaMoed? The Ivni Emas. When do you think it might be built? Says, well, Eli, the Ivni B'Sheis, Shitzer, was his concern that it might be built on Tez Zayin Nisan, then there's no concern. Because if it's born, let's say it's 10 Zayin Nisan, 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay, 9 o'clock in the morning, Harei Hit Teher Mizrach. Alois was 3 hours ago. So based on that, so it's Mutter. So what's the problem? You can eat from the Tua Chadasha. Elo, the Ivni Mechameser. Maybe it's going to happen Mechameser. Mechatzois Hayoim Ulahalant history. Then it should be Mutter at the very least from Chatzois. We don't have to go into that. So the Gemara says, like Tzricha, this is when we need the punchline, is the Ivni Belayla. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was concerned, what happens if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built at night? Inami Samach Lashkiyas HaChama. It will be built during the day, but at the end of the first day Yontif, Tezvav Nisan, before Shkiyah. Oh, if that's the case, in that instance, you don't have a Heir Pnei Mizrach, and in that instance, it would be necessary to have the Karban Omer brought in order to be able to eat from the Tfuah HaChadasha. People may not realize Beis HaMikdash was just built a few hours ago, and as a result, it may come into problems. The bottom line is, it's a drop of a confusing Gemara, but from a high level, what we need is as follows. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a very famous takana. He said that even though when there's no Beis HaMikdash, if you're machpin on Chadash, you can eat Chadash when? First thing in the morning on Tez Zayin Nisan, but stating that, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "Meheri yibana beis hamikdash." I don't want there to be confusion. Just don't eat chadash on Tez Zayin Nisan. Why? Because I'm concerned the beis hamikdash would be built right before Tez Zayin Nisan. When? The Gemara has a discussion, and at the end, the Gemara comes out either the night of Leil Tezayin Nisan or Yoim Tesvav Nisan. Samach l'shkiyas acham. Frank Rashi in Sukkah daf mem aleph amen aleph, and Tosfos in Sukkah daf mem aleph amen aleph, and Tosfos in Shavuos daf tezvav amez. All the Rishonim ask the same kasha. How could the Gemara say that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai was concerned, or Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai added sad that maybe the Beis Hamikdash will be built on tezvav Nisan? What's tezvav Nisan? It's Pesach. We just said ein binyan Beis Hamikdash doichi yontif. It's a Gemara mufresh and mesach teshvus that binyan Beis Hamikdash is not doichi yontif. So it's not doichi yontif. What's the havamin? It's going to happen on tezvav. Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai's whole chashash was predicated on it being either at night or on before Shkia. Before Shkia would be Tezvav. Tezvav is Nyantiv. Ein binyan Beis Hamikdash doichi yontif. And by the way, at night, even though it's Chol HaMoed, it's not Yontif anymore, but that's also a problem because the Gemara says, Ein binyan Beis Hamikdash doichi laila. So Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas, this is the kasha they ask. And they all say the same answer. They all say the same answer. A little bit of an above our pay grade answer. Says Rashi. I'm reading from Rashi and Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph. That had the Kaimel and Beshfuas, the Ein Binyan Beis Hamikdash Doichi Yontif, Hani Mili Binyan Habani Bidei Adam. That's true for a Beis Hamikdash that human beings are going to build. Because then it is an Isser Binyan. And Ein Binyan Beis Hamikdash Doichi Yontif, because the S is not Doicha, the Lois Asse Vase. Like the Chsam Soifa says, the Makar to the Shit Sarama and the Binyan on Yontif is an Isser Dei Reisa. Avu Mikdash Ha'Osset, the Sha'anu Mitzapin. But the Binyan of La Osset Zok the Heiliger Rashi that we're all waiting for. It's going to come down built. It's going to be polished. It's going to be shiny. Because the pasuk says, "Mikdash Hashem, koinenu yodecha." Hashem is going to build the third Beis Hamikdash. Oh, that Beis Hamikdash is going to come down finished. It's going to come down finished. It says, "There's no binyan. There's going to be no human intervention. If there's going to be no human intervention, it's not going to be necessarily for us to build it." So it's true. Ein binyan Beis Hamikdash doichiyantiv. But says Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas, this has no bearings. This has no bearings on the Beis Hamikdash that's going to come la'asid. Because that binyan that's going to come la'asid is not going to be built bidei adam. It's going to come down finished. It's going to come down finished. So no one's going to have to build it. The Aruch Laner in Perek Lulav HaGazel, on that Rashi, on Daf Mem Aleph, bombs away on this Shita Rishonim. And he says, even though I know Rashi says it in a few places on Tosfos, I mean, this is something that the Rishonim say many times, but at the same time, I find it very, very hard to believe. He says, number one, I think it's Kenegan and Mefurisha Gemara. This Gemara also Masechta Sukkah, and this one is on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah, Perik Beis, pasuk Gimel. Vayareini Hashem, Arba Choroshim. So this is Zechariah talking. Zechariah said, Hashem showed me the four Choroshim. Rashi says, what is a charash? Umnim. The four craftsmen. He showed me these four people that were good with their hands, quote unquote. Manu, our bar charash. Who are the four charashim? Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Feliyo Anavi, Fikoyin Tzedek, as in Shem ben Noach. Interestingly, Rashi says, Meshichim, Shneim Charoshim, Lebinya Beis HaMikdash. Meshich ben David, Meshich ben Yosef, they're going to be Charoshim, they're going to be Umnin. They're going to have to build the Beis HaMikdash. Eliyahu is also going to be a Cheresh, because he's going to build the Mizbech. And you find that he built the Mizbech. He built the Mizbech in the Har HaKarmel. And where do you find that Shem ben Noach was a Charosh? Was a Cheresh, says, or a Charosh. Says Rashi, where do you find that he was a Charosh? Because you see that he helped his father. Who was Malki Tzedek? He was Shem ben Noach. Yeah, he helped his father build the Teva, says Rashi. That he built the Teva together with his father. It's a Rashi tucked away. So Gadach Nun Beis Amid Beis. You know, Noach built the Teva. Did his sons help him? Yeah. Shem ben Noach helped him. It's a Mefurish Rashi. But the bottom line is, there were four Charoshes, afraid to Aruch Laner. Rav Yaakov Etlig, what do you need four Charoshim for? I don't understand. I thought it's going to come down finished. So what is this Nevuah that Zechariah saw? Vayareini Hashem arba Charoshim. Who exactly are these four Charoshim? Says the Aruch Laner. And besides, when we daven on Yontif, Yirotzai Sheibane Beis HaMikdash, and we say it every day, B'mheira B'yameinu, V'sein Chalkeinu B'sayir HaSechel. What was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's Lashon? Meheira Yibane Beis HaMikdash. He was talking about building the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Aruch Laner, if the Beis HaMikdash will not be built by the Arba Charoshim, if we're not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, then it shouldn't be Meheira Yibane Beis HaMikdash. You know what it should say grammatically? Meheira Yigale Beis HaMikdash. Yiratzoin Milfanecha Sheyibane Beis HaMikdash. Says Sheyigale Beis HaMikdash Meheira B'Yameinu. What does it mean Sheyibane? It should be built. Sounds like we're going to build it. Azoi? I mean, someone's building it. So there is a binyan taking place over here. Says the Aruch Laner, Lule de Mistafino. I think that maybe Pshat is not like the Rishonim. See, Rashi quoted a Chazal. The Chazal say, Mikdash Hashem, koinonu yodecha, it's going to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But says the Aruch Laner, I don't know if Pshat is the way the Rishonim said it. Lule, the Mistafin, I would say that what that Medrash means is something else. Because really, the Beis HaMikdash, says the Aruch Laner, is made up of two parts. It's made up of a guf, a physical part, and it's made up of a neshama. It's made up of a soul. The Beis HaMikdash has a soul. Because if it didn't have a soul, it would be Eitzim Vavonim. It would be bricks and mortar. What transcends the Beis HaMikdash from just being a wall that people visit and that tourists take pictures of to a makom of Kedusha? It's the neshama. It's the soul that's inside the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is made up of a guf and the Beis HaMikdash is made up of a neshama. We spoke about this. We mentioned the Ha'ara from Rav Asher Weiss. We mentioned that the Gemara says in Masechtis, Brachis, Tafnun Heim, and Aleph, Yodeya, Hoya, Betzalel, Letzarev, Chav, Bey, Zoysios, Shenivru, Bay, Shemayim, Varet. Betzalel built the Mishkan with the Chav Beis Oisiyos of Rashi and Brachos on Heimer Aleph Seifa Hayetzira, the same way the Chacham Tzvi Zeida made a Goylem. Right, he did it with the Seifa Hayetzira. What do you mean? I thought the Pasuk says was Maisa Oymen, it was Malachis Machsheves. We learn out the Malachis, all the Malachis from here. The Teretz is, there were two Dinim, there were two parts of the base of the Mishkan. It's so Pashut. There's the physical aspect of it. It was a place. It's a bias. That's what it is. But it also has an Neshama. It has a soul. And the soul is what transcends it. It's what makes it a spiritual place. It's what gives it its kedusha. The Mishkan was built with lamites melachos. It was made with 39 melachos, with professionals, with haroshin, with umnim. These were the people, the men, the women. Everybody contributed. Everyone did whatever they knew how to do. That's the way the Mishkan was built. But the Mishkan had an neshama. That's what made it a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe v'nayadeti. That's what we're going to visit. That's what we're going to convene. Mibein HaKeruvim. What gave it that? Yodeya Hoya Betzalel Tzarev Chav Beis Oisis, which by the way was also the Lamites Melachos. Because as we mentioned from the Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov in his Akdama to the Pasa Shulchan, that the Vilna Gaon said, Pshat in the Yoitzus of Parshas Shkolim, that Briyas Ha'olam, the Baal Tum in the beginning of Parshas Vayakov, that was also the Lassos, right? That Briyas Ha'olam was also, they were both Lamites Melachos. It's fascinating. The Guf was Lamites Melachos and the Neshama was Lamites Melachos. But says Daruch Laner Nachzul in Yoneinu, I think that's what's going on over here. He says there was the physical part of the Beis HaMikdash and then there's the Neshama. Mikdash Hashem, Koinu Yod, Avada, the neshama, the soul of the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to come from the Maila. That's Koinenu Yodecha. That's from you. But at the same time, as it relates to the physical, it's Vayareini Hashem Arba Charoshim. There it's going to be different. So how does the Aruch Laner answer Rashi's Kashim, Toys's Kashim? Zayin Shom, that's when you learn Masech the Sukkah, Nemalef, or Shfuz, Tezvav, and the other places where this comes up in Shas. But Asher Negev and Yoneinu, fascinating. That the Beis HaMikdash itself is made up of a guf, and it's made up of a neshama. So I had a Ha'ara today. Could be its emes, and that is that we know that on Tisha B'Av, Klal Yisrael mourns. On Tisha B'Av, Klal Yisrael mourns the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan said, had I been there, had I been around, had I had a vote to determine when exactly we should commemorate the destruction of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, I would not have voted for Tesh B'Av. I would have voted for Yud B'Av. You know why? Because the ikur of the sreif of the Beis HaMikdash happened on Yud B'Av. And based on that, I would have voted for, yes, everybody asked the Kashrim, Rabbi Yochanan, you would have voted. It was a vote. I thought it was a pinavua. There were Nevi'im, Mechaz Chinuch's Kasha. So much geschmackerate on this Gemara. But you see over here in this Gemara something fascinating. You see that there were two tzadim. There were two legitimate days that could have, would have, and should have been the day that we commemorate Churban Beis HaMikdash. It could have been on Tess, and it could have been on Yud. Rabbi Yochanan said, I would have voted for Yud. Ultimately, Chachamim said Tes. But clearly, there could have been 2 days. So what's the pshat? What are these two stodim over here? So Pasha, you say, I don't know, I guess it started on Tes, but the Iker happened on Yud. They both seem like reasonable ways to go about it. Any reasonable person could hear Tes. Yeah, that's the day it started. But again, it primarily happened on Yud. Okay, Eishem Isham Chitzav maybe, Eishem Isham Amoynoi, the Kotzke Rebbezvar. So, you know, I can hear all this. This is all is possible, but we've spoken out many times. We've spoken out many times the Ha'or and the Flood that Chassam Sofer says in the Svar. He says it in Erechaim Simon Lamed Gimel and Tshuvas, and in Yoredei Reish Lamed Gimel in his famous Tshuva to Rebbe Amram Chasida, and he says this many, many times, and that is, he says, you want to know why Chazal felt that the right way to do it is on test? and not to do it on Yod? It's even though the Iker, the Sreif attack happened on Yod, but says the Chassam Sofer that the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Nun Beis Amid Beis, and it's also the Gemara Masechtas Bechoros, Daf Nun Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Shaya said, Bikshu Lignois Kol Kesev Ezasha Be'olam, that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim wanted to say that Jews are not allowed to have money anymore. No money. Bikshu lignois kol kesev v'zav shaba oilam. Why? Mishum kaspa v'dahava shal Yerushalayim. It's because of the gold and the silver of Yerushalayim that was hektish, was now intermingled with all the other gold and silver. The Chachamim said, we just have to get rid of it. You can't touch it. Why? Batal b'ra? That's what the Gemara talks about that. You have to get rid of it. But then the Chachamim, they found the takana. They said, it's okay. You can have money. You know why? Because the pasuk says, Uvova pritzim v'chilalu. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. That when the people, they broke through and they went into the Beis HaMikdash, what they did was they were mechalal. They defiled the Beis HaMikdash. Uvova pritzim v'chilalu. So you know what happened? As soon as they entered the Beis HaMikdash, everything became chulin. Everything became chulin at that point. I mean that everything became chulin, so you have nothing to worry about. It's all chulin. Because uvova pritzim v'chilalua. There's a concept that when pritzim go in and they loot kaviyachol, the Beis HaMikdash, you know what happens? The whole Beis HaMikdash shuts down. It becomes chulin. Uvova pritzim v'chilalua. There's a tremendous discussion in the Rishonim how this works in Lamedus. What does it mean? Uvova pritzim v'chilalua. The Baal HaMor says it works with Me'ila. The Ramban says it's nothing to do with Me'ila. And the Ramban comes out, and this is often quoted, that there's a special din called Uvova pritzim v'chilalua. Why? Kacha. That's what it is. That when the pritzim enter the Beis HaMikdash, it all becomes chulin. Says the Chassam Sofer. Chazal knew that with the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Iker Sreifa happened when? It happened on Yud Ba'av. But when that Beis HaMikdash was burning on Yud Ba'av, it was chulin already. Because it was Eitzim V'Avonim. It was Uvova Pritzim V'Chilalua. Because they had been Mechalal when they entered. Uvo. When did they enter the Beis HaMikdash? On Tes Ba'av. So Tes Ba'av is when they were Mechalal the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why the Chachamim felt, you know, the day that we're going to go ahead and we're going to mourn the Beis HaMikdash on Tes. What do you mean? It was burning. It was burning. Everyone saw the fires, the smokestacks. That all happened on Yud Ba'av. Yeah, but at that point it was Eitzim V'Avonim. At that point, it was chulin already. Because Uvalba Pritzim v'chiladua, the Pritzim were mechalad. And once the Pritzim were mechalad, at that point, it was already chulin. So says the Chassam, you want to know why it's Tesbav and not Yudbav? Because Uvalba Pritzim v'chiladua. So it comes out, it's Oyev v'noira. There were two technical possibilities of how to remember Churban Beis HaMikdash. Should it be Tes or should it be Yud? So what are the two stuff? Do you go Basa when it started? Or do you go Basa Nikas Reif? It's a very nice pshat. But I think it's much deeper than that. I think the Varis Tes Bav was Uvova Pritzim V'Chilalua. That's when the Beis HaMikdash became Chulin. That's when the Neshama of the Beis HaMikdash was Chared. That's when it went back to being just Eitzim V'Avonim. Just bricks and mortar. On Yud Bav, you know what happened? The physical building of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's when the guf of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Beis HaMikdash was made up of a guf and a neshama. There were the lamites melachas and melachas machsheves, and then there was the neshama of Yedeya Haya Betzalel. La'asid is going to be the physical Beis HaMikdash. That's going to be the Arba HaRashim, says the Aruch Laner. That's why it's Mehera Yibane, Yiratzen She Yibane. And then there's going to be Mikdash Hashem Koinun Yodecha. That's going to be the neshama. The churban of the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash happened on Tes, because that was Uvova Pritzim V'Chilalua. The churban of the guf, that happened on Yud, and being that happened on Yud, those were the two tzadim. When do we remember the Beis HaMikdash? Do we remember it on Tes? Remember it on Yud? And that's what Chazal said. No, it's going to be on Tes Bav. It's going to be on Tes Bav because that's when the neshama was charev, and because that's when the neshama was taken away. That's when it was uvova pritzim v'chilalua. So it's for that reason. It's on Tes. So I was thinking, just one hoysafa, we'll end with this, a little chizik. Just one hoysafa. And that is that in the world of Uvav, Pritzim v'Chalalua, there's a lot of lamdas. But one of the kashas that the Chassam Sofer asks in that same tshuva in Reish Lama Gimel is that we're familiar with the machloikas because we've mentioned it in the daf so many times. Between the Rambam and the Raivin and Hilchas Beis Abchira, today, can you go on the Harabayas Bizman Azeh? So it's machloikas Rambam and Raivin. The Rambam says that Kedusha Rishayna, Kitcha Lashayta, Veloy Kitcha Lassa Lavi, but the Makim HaMikdash has Kedusha. The Raivin says, no, that there's no Kedusha on the Makim HaMikdash Bizman Azeh. So according to the Rambam, you can't go. If somebody goes Bizman Azeh, it's going to be a problem. According to the Raivin, there's no Kedusha Bizman Azeh. As a result, it's not going to be a problem. Right, Chassam Sofer, what happened to Bova Pritzim V'Chilalua? V'ula Yitoin HaRaivin, Toksiv Uvova Pritzim V'Chilalua? The Ravid has such a good taina. What? I understand. The Meis HaMikdash lost its Kedusha before the Meis. On Tes Av, it was already gone. By Yud Av, there was no Kedusha anymore. Because there was Uvova, Priest, and the Chilaloh. So I found an unbelievable Mitzia in the Shailos HaTshuva's Beis Yitzchak. So we have to introduce who the Beis Yitzchak was. We'll save that for another day. But Rav Tzvi Pesach, Frank, in one of his Shtiklach on Uvova, Priest, and the Chilaloh brings this. So he says that it's Pashat that you see from here. It's Pashat, he says, no Shailo. Uvova, Priest, and the Chilaloh was temporary. You know what Uvova, Priest, and the Chilaloh was? The moment the Priest entered the Beis HaMikdash, it was Chulin. But you know what happened right afterwards? It came right back to Shekhinah. Uvova, Priest, and the Chilaloh doesn't mean that the Priest destroyed it. They didn't destroy the Neshama of the Beis HaMikdash. They can't destroy the Neshama of the Beis HaMikdash. The Neshama of the Beis HaMikdash is indestructible. It's not something that they could have destroyed. But you know what happened? They entered the Beis HaMikdash. And then it was clear, oy vai, there's going to be a churbin. So you know what happened? You have this new lovdisha concept that I think is rooted in such a beautiful machshava. That the minute the Pritzim walk in, Uvo, the Chilalua, joke's on you. You can't defile our Kedusha. You think you destroyed the Holy Temple? You didn't destroy the Holy Temple. You destroyed Eitzim Vavonim. Mizma La'asib Bo Goyim Nach La'secha Shehish B'chamas Shafa Chamasay Al Eitzim Vavonim. That's all it was. It was Eitzim Vavonim because the Kedusha went away. And you know what happened as soon as Titus went and he was carrying the Menorah together with his Chevra crossing back to going back to Rome. You know, the Kedusha came right back because Uvova, Prince of the Chilua, doesn't mean that they had an ability to destroy the Nesham. You can't destroy the Nesham of Klal Yisrael. You could persecute us. You can gather us, you can destroy Beis HaMikdash, but they thought that they destroyed the Holy Temple. They didn't know this truth was Chassam Sofer. In Yeridei Reish Lam Gimel to Rabbi Amram Chassida, when he talked about Yerushalayim and the Kedusha that it has even today, Bizman Hazeh, that's what he was referring to, Yerushalayim Hayoy. And he said how Kaddish it is. So said the Chassam Sofer, you're not touching the Nirasham of Kaddish. And that's what happened. It went out, and then immediately, as soon as they left, it came back. And that's the takeaway. The takeaway is that you can try, they can destroy the bias, they can destroy the Eitzim Vavonim, there was a Churban by Yisrishin, there was a Churban by Yisheni, but at the same time, in terms of Churban, there's no Churban on the Nesham of the Beis HaMikdash, because when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it was a bias of Chulin, and the second the Beis HaMikdash was Charev, all of a sudden you have a Rambam that says, Makrivim Hafal Pishay bias, we could bring all the Karbanis we wanted to bring. It's true, it looks like we're a Golas. It looks like that we're Nebuch lost. It looks like there's a Churban, but really there isn't. Just to end, I was thinking, maybe that's Pshat, the Chassam Sofer, in his Torah's Moshe. The Chassam Sofer in his Torah's Moshe in Parshas Vayeshev asks that Kol HaMisabel Al Yerushalayim Zoicha V'Roya V'Simchasa. And the Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand the grammar. Zoicha V'Roya V'Simchasa. It should say Yiske V'Yira V'Simchasa. What do you mean? How were you Zoicha V'Roya V'Simchasa? If you're mourning today the Churban, you're Zoicha V'Roya. Zoicha's in the present tense. What are you witnessing? What are you being happy with in the present tense? This is all in the future. But I think the teretz is that the guf of the Beis HaMikdash was charev, but the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash is here today. And if a person's Mis'abel on Yerushalayim, you can actually tap in. You can turn your channel to a frequency where you can somehow benefit from the neshama of the Beis HaMikdash that the goyim had no ability to be machriv, and that's why it's zoicha v'roya simchasa. You're right, you can't see the physical Beis HaMikdash, but there's two batei mikdashim, there's the physical and there's the neshama. On the guf, that's something that you can't see today, but on the neshama, that's something that hayoyim is something we could all have access to.